Riddlers in the Dark, Darkness Riddlers, whatever it is, and whatever time of day you're listening to this, hello, this is Trish Lambert, your co-host for the Riddles in the Dark Digest, along with my giggling co-host, Laura Burkholz. Hello, Laura.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. You know, we're talking today about episode 2.09, and I don't know if you want to admit to this, Laura, but I will say that I'm not that into this particular riddle. the riddle is, how will the political and economic relationship between Lake Town and the Elves of Mirkwood be portrayed? This is a Dave Cale riddle. This is one that he wrote down like in the early days, you know, I think even back before the first year of Riddles in the Dark. But this is really Dave's thing, and it was, you know, and that's fine. But I just not, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, well, we can see what other people have to say about it, even if we don't have all that much to say ourselves.
Let me give the answers that we came up, that you know, the choices, and then let's just jump right into other people's responses.
Well, let's read the answers, the potential answers here.
Then we'll jump right into those. So A, they have a trading agreement, wine or other commodities via barrels, etc., and are political allies. This is the book answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
B is, they have a trading agreement but aren't allied at all. C, they are allied but have no trading agreement. Or D, they are not allied and have no trading agreement. This is one of those quadrant things, you know, with four options. I don't remember what I said. I can't remember what I said. I either said A or B. And unfortunately, as many of the listeners have been reminding me, the grid is woefully outdated. Ben, who is just the most wonderful thing up on things, entered a monastery, honestly. And
we drove him into the monastery.
He let me know. Okay. Well, so, you know, and not surprisingly, this is not something he can keep up on. So he did send me instructions, and somebody has kind of raised their hand and said, you know, if it's not too difficult, he'll take it on. I just have to get around to managing it. So we will get the grid back in shape again. But, and then the other thing I want to acknowledge is the riddles on Facebook. We're going to fix that too, because the poll application, I don't like it. A lot of us don't like it. I mean, I just got to figure out another way to do it. So stay tuned. I'll let you know in a future digest about that. Okay. So anyway, so we got as far as B, or no, I read them all, right? I read them all. I just remember what I said. Now are you?
Yes, I think you read them all. I have not answered, but I'm going to answer B. They have a trading agreement, but aren't allied at all. And when I say trading agreement, I don't think they sat down and wrote out some sort of agreement. I think it's, you know, if it's good for one, it's good for the other. I don't really see them being allied, and I don't think Tolkien was really sitting down thinking about the socioeconomic implications of the trading agreement between Lake Town and the Elves. You know, it was just a convenient way to get the barrels down the river.
It didn't strike somebody to put a lot of thought in. You know, a lot of thought, like in terms of crafting into it. Yeah. Just is a commercially advantageous situation for the two of them, because they're geographically, you know, situated well.
Exactly.
And there are things one can offer that the other, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
I think Tolkien was very laissez-faire as far as the market goes. You know, trading was good, and, you know, there was no problem with trading, but as long as it was mutually beneficial. I don't think there was any kind of agreement. There was no, like, NAFTA in Mirkwood, you know.
Right. Now, I will admit, I mean, Dave's question, I think, is probably more to do with how will Jackson portray it, which kind of brings us into this thing shared with me earlier today, which is, you know, we have to kind of look at the movie separately from the book.
Well, I don't think they're going to be allied in the movie. In the book, they were somewhat allied, but in the movies, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be to the extent of political allies. So, of course, we do know from the trailer that that Legolas is in Lake Town fighting orcs at some point. So, you know,
right.
Not sure Legolas if he's doing that on his, but it seems like he's kind of doing that on his own. It doesn't seem like the whole elven army is there.
No. At the most, it might be him and his girlfriend.
You mean Tariel?
Yeah. Or his forbidden love. Apparently, according to the trailer.
His forbidden love. Yeah. We were talking about the look on Tariel's face of disgust when Thranduil says, you know, don't encourage him. And it was a look of, oh, they really put me in this movie just to be the love interest. I can't believe it. But look how well I shoot the bow. Come on.
I'm Xena Warrior Elf. I should not be having conversations about love.
That's right. Is that why you put me in this movie? Not fair. So, anyway. So the answers are, okay, did you want to read Mark Fisher's?
Well, I just wanted to let you know, because you said B. You and Corey are in agreement. Dave and I both went with the book answer. So that's, I just looked
at what we were
talking. Oh, let me, I'll read Mark's and then you read the rest, okay? How's that sound? Okay, so Mark Fisher, how will the political and economic relationship between Lake Town and the Elves of Mirkwood be portrayed? I'm with Dave on this one. I can't really imagine a realistic version of events that isn't an A, meaning the book answer. I think there almost certainly has to be some kind of trading agreement in place between the Elves and the Lake Men, if only to explain the barrels. I suppose it's possible to come up with scenarios where the barrels have nothing to do with Lake Town, but they'd be rather convoluted. It seems obvious for the movies to go along with the plotline of the book for this part of the story. As for the idea of an alliance, I confess I'm a bit murky about exactly what counts here. If we were just talking about a formal political alliance, that'd be quite tricky. But if I follow the podcast correctly, we seem just about everything better than never heard of each other, which makes the decision easier. I actually doubt that there's some kind of formal treaty in place between them, but it's hard to see how they could function as trading partners without at least some kind of broader understanding. I'm actually wondering if we'll ever find out the answer to this question in any of the films. It doesn't really seem likely that the characters will stop to discuss any of this in detail. My guess is that if Thranduil and the Master actually meet, they'll at least recognize each other, so I think that's good enough for an A.
Okay.
Yeah, if I recall, I mean, the way I kind of characterized it was, you know, they're each other's emergency contacts, you know, when they fill out a form, like in the case of emergency, who do we call, you know, call, Elven King says call Lake Town, Lake Town says call the Elven King. I mean, it's like if one sounded the horn, the other one would come, is kind of how I was thinking about it. And actually, now that I say that out loud, maybe, you know, if that's my definition of A, that I agree with Mark, it's going to be hard to really show that, I think. We may never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, what do other folks have to say?
Oh, let's see. From the Mythgard page, Murray says, well, Lord of the Rings refers to King Brand in The Hobbit. When Bard emerges from the water to general acclaim, the Master of Lake Town says Bard's ancestor was Lord of Dale, not of Lake Town. He does not call the ancestor king. A lord can be a noble of almost any rank, but I would think if there had been a king, the Master would have used the term. Now, he must be answering something different.
Yeah, he must be. He must be. Yeah. He must have been referred to a specific.
Maybe he was referring to something in the podcast. So,
because I do recall, I think there were some of the listeners were saying, you know, it wasn't king, it was Lord.
Yeah, a Lord of Dale, like not the king. Yeah. Okay. And Michael Lucero says, I meant to post this a long time ago. Sorry. For the people who are having trouble picturing what some of the non-book options of the riddle would look like, for B, I was thinking something like Norway in the mid to late Middle Ages with the Hanseatic League. You know, that's exactly
that
what I was thinking
right
too. I had that on the tip of my tongue. The Hanseatic League, you know. The Hanseatic League had a trade agreement in Norway, which gave them certain economic privileges that were either exclusive or greater than those of other countries. But Norway was not allied with the League at all, so they had no military obligations to each other. I could see something like this in the film, where Thranduil says, we trade with them, we don't fight for them, and Legolas and Tariel try to persuade him otherwise. I don't like this myself, but given what Jackson did with Aragorn not wanting to be king, and Theoden at first not wanting to honor his alliance with Gondor, I can see this change happening. It would also make the Elven King's decision to ally with Lake Town after Smaug's death even more suspicious and questionable, and add to the drama. For example, what is Thranduil up to now? For C, I can see them doing something like having an alliance that Thranduil must honor, but since they have no trading agreement, and this would not seem strange in film world, since given all the waterfalls, there's no way to get the barrels back to Mirkwood, they've had virtually no contact with each other and have almost forgotten about one another. In this scenario, the Master would be very suspicious of the Elven King and have almost no knowledge of him, and might use some of his minions, like Alfred and some of the other Lake Town minor characters that have been cast, to try to double-cross the Elves, which could lead to his public shame and eventual rise of Bard. You know, and I want to say, I think I say B for my main answer, but I think D is the other one, that they just have nothing to do with each other.
With each other, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, I could see that the, you know, the barrels, he releases the barrels have nothing to do with any kind of trade with Lake Town. It just so happens, I mean, he just uses them as an escape vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, like he said, especially since you can't get him back up the river with all those waterfalls. So, yeah, that's true. I would think if no mention is made at all, you know, of any kind of commerce and any kind of alliance, this would be the D would end up being the answer. It'd be up to our esteemed judges, but I could see that. Mm-hmm. I could see that being a valid answer.
Okay, and then from Facebook, now we do have an answer from Yana, but I have been requested not to mention the DOLL again.
You have?
So yes, I'm not sure if I should mention it or if I should read this or not, because you know it is Yana. So anyway, but you know, since it's Yana and since he stays up till the middle of the night,
I know,
for these things, I'm going to read it. So. It says, yay, the one episode I missed is out. Thanks, Trish. I missed one episode, and I would have wanted to say so many things in this one and not all doll related. I have to admit that I was cheering out loud when the professor mentioned the burning doll. In a way, I was there in spirit. The professor mentioned it as a fact that this movie takes place 60 years after the destruction of Dale, and I don't think that's necessarily true. I remember when we made the assumption. However, it has never been stated on screen, and I, for one, still hold out hope for a long time having passed in between, and Thorin just aging very well. Now, another excellent episode, and I'm not done listening yet, so I'll get right back to it. Now, where does the 60 years come from? Don't they mention 60 years in the movie at some point?
Yeah, at some point.
Now, I can't remember exactly where they say that.
I don't remember. I'll have to go back and watch the movie again, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we didn't pick it out of the air. I mean, it definitely, there's a route for that. We'll have to get it back.
Actually, the next couple of comments talk about that.
Oh, okay.
So, Rog McCutcheon, Ari, the 60 years issue, I think it is mentioned during the unexpected party that Smaug hasn't been seen for 60 years. My take on that comment was that it had been more than 60 years since the attack, but how much more I can't recall being mentioned. Okay. And then Stephen Schoenwolf says, according to the timeline of the Third Age, of course, he's talking about the book timeline, which
yes,
not the movie timeline.
Uncompressed by Jackson timeline.
Yeah, it's definitely compressed.
Yes, the real timeline.
It had been 170 years since the attack on the Lonely Mountain before the quest begins and the death of Smaug. Besides which, and I don't think they mentioned this in the movie, Gandalf did make the comment in the book that he had received the map and the key 100 years ago last Thursday, or something close, from Thrain. Oh, I'm sorry, Thrain. So the attack on the mountain would have to have been longer than that. So that's the book, which, yeah, as we know, is not the movie. So,
what was 100 years ago last Thursday was when Thrain left the Lonely Mountain to go to Moria. But what Stephen's remembering is right. I think it was 90 years, because we made a big deal about that in one of the, I think it was in the Story of the Hobbit class, the Gandalf's been walking around with this key and map in his pocket for 90 years. Does it never occur to him? You know, I mean, we just laugh about it because it's like, that's just so funny. But
So does that mean he hasn't washed it?
The point
in 10
being,
years either.
He
just left it in his pocket.
Or you know, yeah. Or has he? What about his robe? I mean, has he washed his robe for coffee? Yeah, you know, it's just funny, and you know, especially when you think of the quest of Erebor. Well, I guess one could argue that once they met at Bree, then Gandalf realized, you know, he should give the key and map to Thorin, but he waits until the unexpected party. But still, it's just kind of, you know, we just kind of laughed about that. But anyway, but Stephen's right. I mean, it's like 90 years. I think, is how long it's been since Gandalf got the key and map from Thrain. By the way, I wanted to compliment you on Smaug, and then you went and Thrained us, but that's okay. You caught yourself. Good girl. I'm impressed.
No, I just have a hard time with that. So,
oh, listen, okay. I mispronounce so much stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. Well, we all do. Okay, Ian Pollitt. It seems Geryon were featured in the films. The Empire article on the extended edition states that we'll get him shooting black arrows at Smaug in the extended prologue. So it sounds like we're going to have Bard in some way portrayed as the king in exile. So that's interesting. I didn't read that Empire article. And in the trailer, they showed what I kind of assumed was Geryon fighting that ballista
right.
at Smaug.
I was wondering, actually, I think it was the first round that we did on the trailer that Corey and I did, I said, I wonder if that's a black arrow that Geryon's shooting with the Ballista. So, yeah, I remember the Empire article talking about Garen and his Black Arrows. And we were kind of like, oh, my God, don't tell me Bard's going to end up inheriting, like, a whole quiver full of Black Arrows.
Well, no. And then it says in the extended prologue. So is that only going to be in the extended edition? Won't be in this yet.
Yeah, it was. We were told in the Empire. No, well, we were told in the Empire magazine that we're going to see Garen in the extended edition of the first movie, which is coming out next month.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we will have seen, anybody that's seen the extended edition will have seen Garen prior to movie two. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think you and I have talked about that, haven't we? That Bard kind of could be more of an Aragornish kind of character, the king in exile kind of thing.
They do, you know, seem like they're. They seem like, yeah, they're sort of playing him up to be that way. At least in the trailer, it seemed to me that he's, you know, he's the only one who'll stand up and say what's on his mind.
Right.
You know, he's the only one who stands up to Thorin. And kind of looks like the only one who stands up to the Master of Lake Town too. So they're, you know, and they've got him portrayed. Well, he's Bard the Bowman, so of course he's got a bow all the time. But it seems to me they're kind of making comparisons to Aragorn.
Seems like it. And we could see that same thing where he starts it. Because I remember Jackson in one of his video logs said that they wanted to make Bard sort of a mysterious character, which I remember thinking at the time, anybody who's read the book, how can you make Bard a mysterious character for anybody who's read the book? But anyway, he's like, well, you know, he said something about how
more mysterious than in the book where he, you know, shows up the paragraph before killing Smaug.
Right. Right. Exactly.
And then turns out to be old, you know, the king of Dale, the heir of the king. Yeah. So,
but Jackson said something about how he wants us to not be sure if he's good or bad or what, you know, what's his agenda, mm-hmm, that kind of thing. So to me, that sounds more Stridery kind of, you know, that he's going to be, I think, you know, and we may see him sort of like then rise in status and stature in his affect.
Yeah.
As we go through, much like Aragorn did. Yeah.
Well, I hope they don't make him so. That was the one thing about the first trilogy. Yeah, so wishy-washy. I did not like the character of Aragorn in the movies.
I know.
It's like, darn it, you're a king. Just stand up and be a king. Come on.
You know, I don't like it, but I understand it. And I think I understand it based on the research I did with the Disney, you know, comparison to Disney to Tolkien back with Snow White and the Hobbit. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, so much, there's so many tropes and so many demographics. There's so much pressure on a filmmaker, you know, to appeal to the audience, that the temptation, you know, to sort of, oh, well, they'll never, you know, the audience won't be able to relate to, you know, Aragorn the Magnificent. We need to make him Aragorn the Human. I understand why they would have done it. I don't like it. And I don't agree. I think the audience would have actually gotten it just fine. But
yeah, and I don't think in the book he was not Aragorn the Magnificent when we first meet him, you know.
Right.
But he was definitely a lot more sure of himself.
Oh, yeah, you know. Absolutely. And so he had absolutely no qualms about being king whatsoever.
He didn't need an elf lady to tell him what he was supposed to be doing.
Exactly. So, you know. Oh, yeah, I mean, I just think Jackson or, you know, Walsh, whatever, I mean, I think they're responding to some sort of perception of, you know, what audiences like. And I don't know. Yeah, maybe they do. Maybe they do focus groups. I don't know. But I personally think that oftentimes Hollywood, the film industry in general, I think they underestimate their audiences, frankly. But
they
anyway,
sure
so
and
I'm
then,
hoping
and
the
then poor
like
Faramir. Poor Faramir.
I know. It's even worse. I mean, they gutted the poor man.
I know. Well, let's hope they don't do that to Bard. So.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Okay. So.
So Laura Lee Smith. Not so sure, and she's a Mythgard student, by the way. Not so sure I would agree there's a trading agreement in the book. Trade agreements feel like an anachronism in Middle-earth. Yeah, I would say,
well,
I don't know. I mean, but there's a little bit of a political shape to Lake Town. You know, there's the master of Lake Town.
And there is a statement in The Hobbit about how the two places trade back and forth.
Yes,
And I think that's what we're keying off of when we say a trade agreement. But as a book answer is there is it may it's not we're not talking about a written agreement, but there's like a tacit arrangement back and forth between, I mean, there's a whole system in the book, you mm-hmm. know, because the barrels come out of the Elven King, and then there's other elves that, like, you know, they raft them up together, and then they raft drift them down the river, and then they meet up with the lake men. And I mean, there's a whole system in place. So this is something that's been going on. This is not haphazard. It's a process. You know, that's, I think, what we mean. Not that there's like a, you know, written, you know, sealed thing.
Yeah. And then Catherine Sess says, I feel like the trade agreement will be a non-issue. The barrel escape looks unplanned and haphazard. Rather than them hijacking the barrels, taking a normal trade route, as in the book. As such, I predict that we will see no evidence of trade, and thus the default answer will be C. Yeah, I mean, if they're returning those barrels to Lake Town like that, they're going to be returning them in, you know, splinters by the time they get down there. So
I know.
I mean, you know,
I mean, we laughed about this. Like,
maybe they have a trade agreement for toothpicks, but that's about
all. Yes, exactly. Or they have to portage the barrels back up on land, or fools or something. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's crazy. So, I mean, I, even though I answered A, I think, you know, I always seem to get swayed when we, you know, we end up talking, the three of us, Dave and Corey and I. But, I mean, the more I think of it and the more I've seen since this episode, the more, especially with the barrels, the scenes we've seen with the barrels and stuff, the more I'm thinking it is, I agree with Kat. I think it's just like a haphazard, you know, they have these barrels. They don't say where they've come from. You know, there's no explanation to us there. But the fact that Bilbo or whoever decides that they're going to take him to escape is just because they happen to be handy at the moment.
And they happen to have the one.
Not because they're
You know, the more I think about it, they cannot possibly be trading those barrels. I mean, you know, you can't trade down a rapid like that. So
I know.
So it has to be either C or D, I think.
Well, surely. Yeah, surely Jackson understands that. I mean, if he's going to make, you know, Whitewater Rapids, stay tuned for the Universal Studios version of the ride.
I'm looking forward to that.
Then he's got to dump any kind of trade, you know.
Yeah, unless they're trading other things, which could be possible, too. You know, unless they do trade other things.
Maybe the eagle brings up and bring them back.
Yeah, or, you know, maybe they bring the barrels in by horse or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, I was thinking, you know, by pony or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't even see, I mean, I don't even see them making that, explaining that to us. Maybe in the extended edition for movie two, but I mean, there's no reason. I mean, it doesn't have anything like to do really with the main part of the story. And Lord knows they've got enough to cover.
Oh, yeah.
As it is. So, okay. Well, yeah. So, it's interesting because, like I said, you know, I answered A, and I'll stick by what I answered, although I think if I was asked the same question today, I would probably go with one of the other two now.
C or D. Yeah, I said B, and I'm going to stick with it, but
I think C or D end up actually being the case.
Yeah.
Especially given, you know, I mean, it's going to be up to the judges, but like somebody said, you know, why would they even mention it? Why would they even bring it up? And if that's the case, I would say that's a D, right, where they don't, you know, don't have a trade agreement and they don't have an alliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
So, okay. So to move on to the conundrum.
Judges, frankly, but
I think so.
Oh, right, right. One that I really want to know. Yeah, that's a good one. I just want to warn you. I have a puppy barking in the background. He's had his dinner and wants to go play.
Oh, that's okay.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to put myself on. Conundrum.
Okay. I will read the conundrum. When we first meet Bard, does he know he's Girion's heir? So that's the question. Is he going to know it, or is he going to be made aware of it either in this movie or the next movie that he is the heir of Girion? And I think he is going to know, but I think he's going to be have moved so far down in status that it, you know, it doesn't really matter that he doesn't have any kind of political power, but he does know that he's Girion's heir in exile in Lake Town. So what do you think, Trish?
Yeah, I think that he's going to know, and I agree with you. I think he's going to think that it doesn't matter that he's heir to Dale because he thinks it's a lost cause. I mean, given his reaction in the trailer to Thorin and what he says and how he says, don't bother, and, you know, there is no king under the mountain and whatnot, I think he probably knows that he's Girion's heir, but it's like a hollow, you know, so big.
Exactly.
So what's the big deal? Oh, you agree.
And that's why I think when we see that shot of the boat.
Yeah, so I'm going
the
with
ruins,
you.
I think that's Bard going through the ruins of Dale. I still think that. I don't think it's Lake Town, even though Corey said it. What he thought it was Lake Town, but for one thing, it's stone, and we know Lake Town is wood. And then there was only one person in the boat, and
right.
You know, to me, it looked like somebody going through some ruins. So I don't know. I could be wrong, but to me, that kind of looked like Bard going through the ruins of Dale, you know, thinking, you know, this is what I inherited, this desolate wasteland. So
maybe, yeah, right, it could be a completely separate scene from the dwarves. It's something, yes. It's some bard's backstory. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, I was thinking it was Lake Town because we've never been given any indication through any of the visuals we've seen from Jackson that in Jackson's Middle Earth, you know, Dale had any kind of water access, even though the river was nearby.
The river's right. It shows the river right there. It does show it kind of up on a hill, which is odd because it's called Dale, so you'd think it'd be down in the Dale. But it does. There is a river that goes right by it.
When the dwarves are standing on the hill, you can see the river? Yeah.
Yeah, as Thorne looks down on it, there's a river that goes right by it.
So, you know, I think you're right. I would think if that is Dale, I agree with you. I think it'll be a separate scene where we see maybe Bard, you know, we get a little bit more insight into Bard because he's taken his boat through the ruins and, you know, he's having some kind of, like, the look on his face or whatever is like, what a waste, you know, I'm Lord of Nothing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it may not have anything to do with the boat. In fact, that might even be before he finds the dwarves. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the opposite direction, I guess, where he encounters the dwarves. But mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, maybe Jackson will move it all around. Maybe Dale will be down by the elves.
You think?
No, he can't. Because it's got to be right by the Lonely Mountain. Right. Yeah, so. All right. Well, I think that pretty much sums everything up.
All right.
On this fascinating riddle about the political and economic relationship. Yeah. See, now they're going to take this podcast seriously because we're dealing with serious issues here.
Right, that's right. Right? That's right. So, I want to get back to the fun stuff, like the Fringe Festival and all that good stuff. So we'll get to those soon.
Well, we'll get to those next time.
Gucci's being a ham. He wants to be on the podcast. All right, everybody. All right. Well, it's great. It's been fun. And Laura, why don't you take us out?
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And Godspeed.